You know, when we started, when David said he was going to preach this, "Who's Your One," he was saying, well, "I'm going to preach from the Gospels, and I'm going to preach on Andrew." And I said, "Well, I think the Ethiopian eunuch would be a real good topic." And he said, "Well, you get to preach that one." Of course, I love to preach, and it scares me to death every time. But I do enjoy just proclaiming the message. And if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 8, we're going to talk about Philip today in our Who's Your One series. I just want you to know that just because you think you know that who that one is, as Carol and I talked about who our one was or is and is going to be, there may be one that you don't plan on meeting. And I think that's the reason Philip's such an interesting topic. Because Philip wasn't planning to go where he went. I don't think he had intentions of leaving. You know, we meet Philip in the beginning of Acts. Acts chapter 6 is where you'll find him. And he's just a man. But they were being asked to set aside men by the apostles who were of good reputation and had to be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to ask you today, if you was to describe yourself, or they're going to describe somebody that you know, how would you describe them? Would you be picked out of those people to serve at Hillcrest Baptist Church? You had to have a good reputation. You had to be full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And I think that last one is really, really important. You know, as we listened to J.D. Greer that day, our SBC president, talk about who's your one. You know, that got me to look at it. And then David comes, and not only has he got a list of the one, but he wants you to have the 10 most wanted on that list. And as I got to thinking, as I tried to fill out that piece of paper, you know, it kind of came to me, who all that I have prayed for as I went back and looked. And sometimes I'm not saying we give up, but we lose kind of heart. We faint in the process of trying to win people to Jesus sometimes. Even though those people may have not have come to know Christ, we think, well, they've made their decision. I've tried to get them to come to church, or I've talked to them about their faith, and they just ain't coming. But guys, it ain't always going to be an easy task. And the Holy Spirit has to draw them. Always remember that the Holy Spirit has to be involved. You know, when Philip was chosen to serve, he was chosen to serve the widows and make sure that they had the right amount of food and all these things. And he just set himself up to do that. And the next time we pick him up is in Acts chapter 8. And I like that in our lives, because there's going to be times that we, as a servant, that we surface, and then there's going to be times that we're just doing things behind the scenes and nobody's going to know. Nobody knows how much you're praying. Nobody knows how much you're doing. Nobody knows how much you're serving. And you ought to do it with a heart of love for God and for His church, because we're all supposed to be servants. So in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, "So those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word." Why was they scattered? Well, Stephen was just killed. And that when they killed Stephen and the persecution of the church broke out, they all left Jerusalem. They went back to their homes. See, they stayed gathered there for a really long time. I mean, they just really went there to worship over Passover, but yet they were still together. And when they stoned Stephen to death and began to persecute the believers, then those who had believed in Jesus and the ones that had been persecuted began to scatter. And Acts 1:8 is literally actually coming to pass right in front of Stephen's or Philip's eyes, and he don't even know it. Because as he goes to preach, he went to Samaria. Philip, and verse 5 says, "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them." The crowds were paying attention to what Philip said. As they were listening and saw signs he was performing, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So that there was great joy in the city. Now think about that, folks. He is gathering believers. There's lots of people coming to know Jesus Christ. There's people that he's healing, and the people that demons have been released out of them because of the Holy Spirit's work in Philip's life, because they believed. And then, like I said, he kind of drops out again. You know, our first point today says if we love people with a God-centered, Christ-like love. Do you know that Philip's not the only one that loved the people in Samaria? That Jesus has stopped there? Remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well? And how he talked to those people, and Jesus stayed there. The Bible says that Jesus stayed there 2 more days. After the woman at the well incident, the people came out, and he asked them, or they asked him, to stay there 2 more days. And that's exactly what he done. He stayed there 2 more days to teach and to preach and to reach those people for Christ. And it even gave us a testimony in that piece of scripture. It says that they told the woman that they didn't believe because of what she had told them. They had believed because they had seen the Christ, the Messiah. And they believed because what they had seen in Jesus. And that's the way our lives have to be. We have to believe in Jesus. It's not about coming to church. It's not about being religious. It's just about the fact of us believing in Jesus and acting upon that and loving people with a God-centered, Christ-like love. And what do I mean by that? God-centered meaning we do it for God's sake, and Christ-like love means that we serve other people. We're willing to serve just as Jesus was willing to serve. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So like I said, Philip is living out prophecy and not really probably even thinking about it. Are we doing the same today? Philip had an interesting thing happen. Turn with me to our main part of our text today. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road.' So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, a high official of Candace the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go and join the chariot.' When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone guides me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage where he was reading was this: 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb is silent before its shearers, so he does not open up his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' The eunuch said to Philip, 'I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?' And Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As he was traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, 'Look, there's water. What should keep me from being baptized?' So he ordered the chariot to stop. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azros, and as he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that we would just open our hearts and our minds today to your word. And Father, that we would desire to be a servant, to serve people, both here and in your church, but Father, people out in this world, to go and tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray today that you would just help me as I preach your word. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just lead and guide us, Father. And Lord, I just pray, Jesus, that you would just help us to as we looked at the one that we need to have in our life, the one that we would want to bring to Christ, Father. But as Brother David preached the other day, Father, we ought to have the 10 most wanted, Father, in our lives. Father, 10 people that we would be aware of in our lives. But Father, there's even more than that, because you might bring us one that we don't even know about. So Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to be evangelistic in all of our life, Father God, in every part of it, whether it be our home life, our professional life, and even in our private life, Father God, with our family. Father God, I just pray that you would just help us to do that. And Father, I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Philip was serving the people in Samaria. That's what he was doing. He went there to preach the gospel. As he went there to get away, but yet he went there to preach. That's what he was doing. And as we think about the things that he was doing, I want you to realize that he was doing exactly what you and I are called to do. He was on a mission, and every one of us is. Matthew 28:19-20 tells us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And that's what Philip was there to do. And he was having great success in preaching the gospel and people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, as I pondered this scripture, I thought, why did God send an angel? Why did God use an angel at this point in Philip's life? Well, it don't tell us that. It just said that Philip had an appearance with an angel. An angel gave him directions. And he didn't question. He just went. I know when God called me to preach, I said no. Uh-uh. I'll teach. I'll be a deacon. I'll teach those little kids, and I'll be a deacon at Morgan Baptist Church. I'm good. I'm good with that. I don't have a clue what you think you're doing, calling me to preach. And all I kept hearing was I could preach Acts chapter 8 on Ananias going to Saul. I said, I don't want to preach. I'll teach. And he just kept telling me. And I scared my wife to death when I told her that I was going to be a preacher. She just knew that I was going to take her to some foreign country, which I wasn't opposed to that. Once I got to that point, I was okay. I mean, if that's what the Lord wanted me to do, I was completely miserable. And I think this is the reason Philip didn't argue. I mean, he probably knew that he'd be miserable if he didn't do what the Lord wanted him to do. I'll tell you the same thing. If you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do, then spiritually you'll be miserable. And I think it ought to be that way. You can't have the joy of the Lord when you're being disobedient to God. But look what it says in John 13:34-35. You know, it's a command. In John 13:34-35, it says that I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. Also, you are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. See, the church had that. Philip took that with him into Samaria. And he was discipling believers as he went. When this angel of the Lord appeared to him, he had no thing to do but be obedient. And it says he left. He's going to a desert place. What does that mean? You know, I read one commentator that said that they had added that. That Luke added that it's a desert place. He didn't tell him that he was going to reach an Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't tell him that there would be anybody there. And as I was reading and studying, this was a road that wasn't traveled during the day at all. What in the world would Philip be doing going down there on a day like today when it's really hot over there? It's not really hot here. But over there, I'm sure it's kind of warm in the desert. Okay? I And when we think about Ethiopia, it's not Ethiopia that we think of today. It's just past Egypt, just south of Egypt is where they was talking. He had traveled a long way, this eunuch had. He was searching, guys. And you don't never know who you're going to come across in your life. Even if you're in a desert place, let's turn that desert place into something that you don't want to happen in your life. A path that you didn't want to take. Maybe it's health problems. Maybe it's physical ailments. Maybe you've had an accident and it took you to a place that you didn't want to be. Okay? It could be anything like that. But yet God could use that to put you in the presence of somebody that's seeking the gospel. And it said that as he was traveling, this time the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Not an angel. Just the Spirit that lives inside of you, inside of me. Anybody that believes in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit, but if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, if you haven't invited Him into your life, then you don't have that Holy Spirit. You know, and Philip, he knew what was telling him. It said, go attach yourself to that chariot. Well, as I think about this, I think about the chariot, maybe not, you know, just galloping across the desert, because the guy was reading, but I think it was making its way. I don't know if you've ever tried to catch a horse or tried to catch up to some cattle that was walking. They can outwalk you, especially a horse. I don't care whether they're pulling something or not. If they're in the mode of purpose, they can travel faster than you can if you're not willing to get down and get with it. Okay? My dad used to always tell me, hurry up, they're getting ahead of you. Where the heck was he at? He was trying to head them off the other way, but I was the one in pursuit. So, you know, but I can imagine Philip having to run to catch this chariot. That's what I really think. I think he ran for two reasons. One, he wanted to do it. He wanted to be that obedient to what the Holy Spirit had told to do. But two, if he wasn't going to pick his pace up just a little bit, he wasn't going to get to talk to this guy. Okay? And it says he ran. That's a pretty good picture. I like that picture of him running. Don't you like the picture of the father when the prodigal son comes home, of the father running and wrapping his arms around his son and hollering at the servants? That's how much God pursues you. And he's pursuing this Ethiopian eunuch who is seeking religious activity, going to church, going to Jerusalem to church. You know, we ought to yield to the Spirit's guidance daily. You know, Luke 9:23 says that we're supposed to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. We're supposed to yield to the Spirit's guidance. Do you ever just think about what the Spirit wants you to do on a daily basis? Not when you just come to church at Hillcrest, not on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. But what about when you're out there with your people? What about when you're out there living life? When you're going to school? We've got lots of teachers, but we've also got students. And once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, every one of us is called to make disciples. Every one of us. But you never know who is going to be put in your path in that place. And you may not want to be there. That's the reason I think it's called, I mean, it was a physically desert place, but I think we can be in a desert place in our lives. Places that we don't really want to travel, that we didn't want to be, and we just ended up there. But Philip was eager to spread the gospel even to this man because the Holy Spirit gave him direction. The Ethiopian man was seeking to know God. Why do we know that? Because he had Scripture. Guys, that wasn't a cheap thing to attain. And it's amazing that he even had it, being the man that he was. Because he wasn't even allowed in the temple. The only thing he could really do is be a keeper of the gate. Meaning that he could claim that to be a Jewish proselyte, but he couldn't never go in the temple because he was a eunuch. They wouldn't allow him into worship with them. But he was a seeker and he attained Scripture. And as I studied, I realized that Isaiah was really nice to eunuchs. It spoke about eunuchs that God would reach out to them. So that may be the reason he had the prophet Isaiah. We don't know for sure, but he attained a scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he was actually trying to read it as he was going back home. He wasn't satisfied. He was seeking. You know, as to think about it, just think about him reading that, and as Philip runs up there and hears that piece of scripture, what would you do? What do you do when you hear people talk about trouble and trials in their lives? How do you respond? You know, as I was reading this week, I came across this experience. It's called Skyler's Experience. And this guy was doing what he needed to do in the day. He had went to Starbucks and he had some work that he needed to get done. And it starts like this. He was sitting at the coffee shop working when a guy asked whether he could share his table. Every other table was full. Skyler made room for the man, and the two began to work alongside each other. They began talking. It wasn't long before the man shared about stresses he faced. So Skyler, who could have just offered sympathy, started talking to the man about God and provided for him in how God had provided for him in a similar situation. When he said, "Well, I'm asking again against the man," I said, "Don't you know much about him?" He said, "I grew up Catholic, but I never really read the Bible." And what do you think based on what you know now?" Skyler asked. "Well, the last time I remember opening the Bible, it opened to Psalms 18," he replied. "Let's check that out, Psalms out." So Skyler, opening his Bible, he quickly scanned the Psalms themes of judgment and salvation before asking, "Do you know the story of the Bible?" When the man said no, Skyler began describing to him about how Jesus was judged in the place of sinful humanity to give us salvation. And praise God, only a few minutes after hearing the message, the man said, "Wow, I believe it." That day in the coffee shop, he chose to surrender his life to Jesus and to follow him. The two parted with the man's promise to go home and read the whole Bible. In the months ahead, Skyler continued to meet with the new convert and to study the book of Mark alongside him. The Lord providentially arranged this meeting, something he can do in each Christian's life. Even today, Skyler fondly says of the encounter, "It was the easiest gospel conversation I had ever had with anybody, and it serves a great reminder that divine appointments like this one will await each one of us, but we must look for them." Guys, when I read that story, how do we answer people's questions when they're going through tough times? Do we tell them about how God has helped us in our tough times? Or do you say, "I know what you're going through. I'm so sorry. I know it's hard. Life just stinks sometimes." Is that how we answer them? Or do we offer the hope that is truly inside of us? Because witnessing is just not, and I love to go up and witness. And Stephen and David and those guys said, "Well, you can just start a conversation anywhere." Well, that's really not true. If they knew the fear that was inside of me before I started that conversation, but yet, how much is that soul worth? See, God thought enough of the Ethiopian eunuch that it was worth taking Philip from Samaria and sending him to one person. Just one. And yet, we come here and we're all comfortable. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with coming here, because he commands us. Don't get me wrong. I love church and I love gathering with believers. But I come here to get encouraged. I come in here to get fueled up for the next time that I come in contact. Because he tells us to gather ourselves there, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He commands us to assemble ourselves together. And he says, where two or more are gathered, there I will be in your midst. And Philip just added one. Because he was willing to run, number one. Number two, he was willing to ask a question, just like Skyler started asking questions. Guys, we got to be nosy. So sorry. You don't like people being nosy? Well, as a Christian, it's your responsibility. As I was reading this week, I was reading about D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody was witnessing to this guy, and the guy said, "It ain't none of your business about my spiritual life. Who are you?" And he said, "I'm D.L. Moody." And he said, "Well, you make it all your business always, everywhere." Guys, I also read, and I couldn't find it after I read it, and that's a sad thing, because when you read a lot of stuff and you don't remember where you read it, and I went back through it, and I hate to even admit that, but I'm going to say it anyway, because let me tell you something. I believe it was Spurgeon said, if you was with somebody for 15 minutes and they didn't ever mention Christ, you was in trouble. You didn't love him as much as you thought you did. Well, I don't know about you, but that was really convicting to me, and that's the only reason I bring it up. Because I've been with a lot of people for more than 15 minutes, and I didn't tell them about Jesus. Or didn't even test the waters to see if they would accept the conversation. And there's lots of people that I come in contact with that I try to start a gospel conversation, and they don't want to hear it. And that's okay. And I know how to back out of that conversation. I don't want to offend nobody, because I've seen my dad get offended by people that loved him so much. They just wanted him to be saved. But yet they pushed him further and further away from the gospel. I believe. Matter of fact, he got so mad at him a couple of times that he didn't want him to come back to his house. And they were his brother-in-law and my mom's brother and his wife. But they just loved him so much they didn't want him to go to hell. That's a noble thing, right? It is, but the Lord never pushed himself upon anybody. Now, he told them the truth. But we've got to yield daily to the Holy Spirit's guidance. And then I pray. I don't know if you just dive in, but I say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. Help me with this conversation. Help me to help it to go the way you would want it to go. You know, as Philip ran up there and asked that guy, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The guy said, "How can I unless somebody tells me?" Don't you know that just, woo! Man, Philip said, "Yes! I get to have a gospel conversation. That's the way I am. If somebody invites me in, it's like, all right, yeah. We're going here." But guys, I don't mean I get to, I have led very few people to Christ out on an adventure like that. A few. But I don't have the number, and I don't keep track. And I don't know that I should. I know guys that write it down in their Bible every time that they win somebody to Christ, and they can tell you how many people they won to Christ last year. That's not me. I don't even know how many gospel conversations I had last year. And it's really not important. You know what's important? That I'm intentional in doing it. That's what's important. And I try to follow the Holy Spirit. Do I do it every time? No. I fail. I sin. I don't run every time. I lose track. I get discouraged about my desert place and get my eyes focused just on me. Oh, woe is me. But think about what Jesus went through. When you think of your pain and the things that you're going through in life, think about what Jesus went through, and yet He was focused up on you the whole time that was going on. Because there was really no reason for Him to go through that other than you. That's what I focus on. Understand and explain the good news to people. Like I told you, listening is a great way to get involved in a conversation. How much do you listen? If you're always talking, you can't be listening. Or I can't. My wife's pretty good at doing a couple of things at once. She can watch TV and read a book. I won't get nothing out of either one of them. I might as well just be sitting there with my eyes closed, because I couldn't tell you what happened on the TV, and I wouldn't be able to tell you, for sure wouldn't be able to tell you what happened in the book, okay? I've got to be focused. And I believe that's what God wants. He wants our undivided attention. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. Asking questions is a great way to get involved in a conversation. Test the waters. See where they're at. That's what Philip did. Do you understand what you read? But be ready when you get to that point to where they reveal to you where they're at spiritually. Be ready to preach the gospel from that point. You know what that means? We've got to study. We've got to know what the Bible says, and we've got to be able to use the scriptures in the appropriate way, because it's important that we do it in the appropriate way. Now, I was talking to a guy last week at Dad's appointment, and he was watching on, you know, we always got our phones out when we go to these doctor's appointments. We don't have conversations anymore, but we always have our phones out. And this young man was watching a video, and he was watching a video of gladiators. These guys that actually fight, and there's an actual TV show now, supposedly, I guess. I've never seen it, but he was telling me that there was a TV show that had these knife fights and sword fights and all this armored fights. And that's what he was watching. I said, "You like that?" He said, "It's the coolest thing ever." And I thought, how would you feel if it was you, buddy? I hope you was on the winning side. But, you know, it just started a conversation. Now, did I get to have a spiritual conversation with him? No, because his probation officer come out and whisk him away from me. And that's all right. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute, by the way. But we got to be prepared to give an answer to why we believe what we believe. Just what Strauss was talking about a moment ago. You know, we got to be able to give an answer. And actually, 1 Peter 3:15 says this. But in your hearts, regard Christ as the Lord, as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that is in you. Every one of us need to have that. Every one of us need to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in us. That's what Schuyler done. This is what the Ethiopian eunuch done. He gave a defense. Why do you believe in Jesus? Because it's the only thing that makes sense. Because this world has order. And God is a God of order. And God desires to have a relationship with you. And I believe it from the beginning to the end that He desires to have a relationship with human beings that we lost. This Ethiopian eunuch was looking for it in religion. There was many different religions in his culture. But yet he came to Jerusalem knowing that there was one God, and he wanted to know that one God, but those rituals didn't fulfill him. So he bought scripture, and he was going to take it back home, and he was going to read it. And then Philip shows up. You know why Philip showed up? Because God appointed Philip to be there. The same thing is going to happen in your life throughout your life if you're paying attention. But you've got to pay attention. I've got to pay attention. Just because I'm a pastor of the church, just like David said, we are still responsible, just like you are, to tell people about Jesus. It don't relieve me. Now, we are to equip. We are to equip you, and I hope we are doing that. But let me tell you something. In our personal and our private lives, we are to be out there, just like you, winning people to Jesus. I'm not just supposed to stand up here and tell you to go get them. You know, I used to love our old stock dog, Susie. Once Dad quit using me as the stock dog and actually bought one, you could tell that dog, say, "Suze, go get the cows. Time for milk." She would take off, and 30 minutes later, you'd have a lot full of cows. And she didn't miss very many, hardly ever. And if she did, you could send her back a second time, and that cow really regretted, let me tell you. You know what? If God has to send you twice, I don't think you're going to like it. Okay? Discipline. He disciplines the ones He loves. That's what the Bible says. I don't know about you, but I didn't like Dad's discipline, and it wasn't perfect. But God's discipline is perfect. He knows how to get you to do what you're supposed to do, whether you want to do it or not. And if you don't, He'll just take you out. That's the way I see it anyway. I told Linda, and this is not in your listening sheet, but there's six things that we ought to be doing. and you're probably pretty good at two or three of them. Okay? That's the way I, this is the way it always starts with me. But there are six things we can do to the ones that God puts in our heart to be witness to. First thing, we can pray for them. David encouraged you to do that. He wanted you to pray for the one that you would pick the right person to be in your life. But not only that, you need to pray for them as you go through. Once you've chosen that person, then you need to pray in your heart and in your life and throughout your life that God would provide you opportunity. And I see this more and more in my life that if I pray, then these conversations are a whole lot easier. We love to invite them to church. You know, David, that's an easy thing to do. It's non-confrontational. And as David said, in March, we're going to have that opportunity, just a little different setup. They won't have to listen to David or I. They'll get to hear somebody that I don't know personally. David knows him, but I don't know him. But it's just an emphasis. And sometimes they'll come to special things when they won't come to anything else. And that's very important. You can serve them in a meaningful way. Find a way to serve that person. Because I believe if you'll do that, they'll see Christ living in you. And I truly believe that. When Philip got up in that chariot and started to ride with that eunuch and started preaching Jesus to him from that point on, I believe he was serving that eunuch. He was teaching him. He was willing to spend time. And you've got to be willing to spend the time. And so much of the time we look at our watch. That's the reason I like Africa so well. They don't look at their watch. They're not worried about the time. And sometimes I'm driven too much. I don't know about you. But give them gospel-centered literature. This is one of my favorite things to do. I love giving out tracts. Okay? If they don't want to hear it, they'll take the tract. You know, I done that this week as we done Upward. I gave out some tracts. And it's just an easy way. They're taking the gospel home. And they may not ever read it until, you know, three or four months down the road, but who's to say that they won't lay it up somewhere and their kids won't take it? And, you know, I've got little magic tricks and all kinds of things with the gospel on the back, and they're not really magic. It's just optical illusions. But some people think they're magic, and that's okay. It's interesting. But we could speak the gospel to them, and this is where our culture falls on its face. I truly believe it. You know, and I don't know, I'm addicted to... You guys want to watch Gladiators? Well, I love to watch Ray Comfort try to win somebody to Jesus. Okay? And that's one of the things that I do. But I think it also prepares me to use examples. Just like Can We Talk and the examples that we use in Can We Talk. And if you ever went through Bill Fay's Share Jesus Without Fear, I use those questions a lot. You know, Share Jesus Without Fear, we done that back at Elm Grove and at Orla. But you could just use those. But the most important thing that I could tell you, and I truly believe this with all my heart, and I'll get back to my story, is in Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up." Guys, let me tell you something. If Philip would have got tired of walking through the desert, he wouldn't have got to the Ethiopian eunuch. And it was God ordained that he get there. But if he wouldn't have listened to the Holy Spirit, it would have hindered him. If he wouldn't have ran, if he wouldn't ask the question. The Ethiopian eunuch, he preached the gospel so well and told him that Jesus had died on the cross in the place that he was at. He says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And the lamb is silent before his shears, so he does not open his mouth. Can you imagine him telling him about Jesus and how Jesus was born and how he proclaimed to be the Christ, the Messiah, and how he proved it with the many miracles that he done? I can just imagine Philip going through the stories that he knew and that he had saw, and that all these miracles pointed to who he was. And then he told him that he was going to die for our sins. Can imagine him thinking back to Nicodemus and telling him, "You must be born again." You know, and somewhere in there he had to include to be baptized. And I don't know about your Bible, and this kind of threw me for a loop this week. I've always had a New King James Bible. It's what I've always preached out of. And me and my dad was reading this very scripture this week, And verse 37 isn't there. It goes from 36 to 38. And my dad said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, there used to be a verse in my Bible that says," and he confessed, basically he just said, "I believe Jesus is Lord." And I can't remember exactly. It's not even in my Bible, so I can't tell you how it read, but I said, "I know that verse was there." And then I noticed the numbers. I thought, "Wow, they left it out." Dad darn, one of my buddies is right. It's Holman Christian Standard. They're leaving stuff out of there. But you know why they left it out? Because our earliest manuscripts don't have it. Somebody added it because it's very common for people to make that confession back, especially back in that day, that Jesus was Lord and they believed that He died on the cross for their sins. And that was the confession. But guys, let me tell you something. They left it out because they didn't want to confuse people. It's not written in Acts in the manuscripts that we translate our Bibles from. Somebody added it in there. And as I studied that, I thought, well, but you'd think Philip would have baptized this guy if he hadn't confessed that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10 and 9 and 10 says we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. Okay? So, I believe this Ethiopian eunuch confessed with his mouth, and he said, "Hey, here's some water. What's the chance? In a desert place, there's a pond of water enough for him and Philip to walk down into." And he immersed him. He baptized him. And then Philip's caught away. And I've always, always, always thought, "Lord, why'd you do that for? Why would you whisk Philip away? He needed to tell him more. He needed to go tell him to share in Ethiopia." Can you imagine how you would have felt if God just, somebody you was standing there just disappeared without even a trace to know what happened? See, I believe it was a sign. I believe it encouraged the Ethiopian. I believe this Ethiopian man thought, "Whoa, I have actually been visited by God's messenger himself. Let's go. Let's go home. I have found what I'm looking for. A relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." And if you don't know you have that, then there's something wrong with you, because he knew he had it. He knew without any doubt. Why do I say that? Because it says he went away rejoicing. He got back on that chariot. And guys, he's the only one that got saved. He's the only one that got baptized. But there was more people there to serve him because he was a rich man. It wasn't just him going across the desert. There was more people there. And I love this part, and we'll close. And I hope this is you in your life. Philip appeared in Adaros, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And he settled there. That's where you'll find him the next time you look him up. And his daughters knew Christ. They were prophetess. And he was called Philip the Evangelist at that point. So maybe God's going to use you that way. You know, as I was listening to, as we was doing the funeral, Jack's funeral yesterday, Brother Elvin shared a little bit of his testimony. And Jack and Elvin served at Morgan at the same time as deacons. You know, and then Jack came here to be a deacon. And a very good one from what I understand. But Elvin surrendered to the gospel to preach. And he's preached all those years. See, you don't know what God's going to call you to do, or who God's going to call you to, or what path he's going to have you go. But the main thing is that you don't give up serving Jesus and telling people about Jesus. We've got to work. You know, we've got to support our families. We've got to raise our families. But in the midst of that, doing that, what's your attitude like at work? Is it Christ-like, or are you just a complainer all the time? Let me tell you, when I worked at Tracker Marine, I was a complainer. And I met a man named Art Ballantyne. He became one of my closest friends. But he was also a great encourager. And it didn't matter what they asked Art to do. Art done it 110%. It could be the crappiest job, and he'd been there longer than a lot of people. It didn't matter to Art. He just served and done what he was asked to do. Always had a really joyful laugh. He taught me more in those 2 years. And I believe God put him there for a purpose, guys. So when I quit Tracker, because I despised the place, and I'm not saying I would never go back, because I would, to support my family, I'd do anything. But when I went back to Lowe's, I tried to model what Art had taught me. Art wasn't a young man. He was in his upper 50s when he was working at Tracker. I just think about him. And that's the reason we gather as a body of Christ, so we can gain encouragement from one another. And if we can help you in any way, strengthen you in any way, that's what we're here to do. You know, maybe you're here today and you say, well, I don't know if I have a personal relationship with Jesus. You need to get that nailed down, because the Bible says that you can know, and you're the only one that can know. For sure. I can't tell you. Maybe you need that relationship with Jesus. And you need to confess that before men. Just like Romans 10:9-10 says, if we can confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. Guys, if we aren't willing to confess it, I don't know whether that we're truly saved. And like the eunuch, we ought to want to be baptized, because that's what the Lord told us that we needed to do. So I don't know how we're going to end today, but Miss Gina, will you come and lead us in a song? And as you guys think about your relationship with Jesus, as we sing this hymn, and as we close out our services today, if you don't know, or you need to just come and talk to the Lord about your one person. I know there's lots of people that came last week to talk to the Lord. Whether it's about that one person or whether it's about them, it don't matter. But we need to be on our faces before God about that one person, or about those 10 most wanted that Brother David gave you a list to make. Because every one of us, I know, have 10 people that we know that need Jesus.